The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Along with Dr. Rabster from the Rossburg Animal Hospital, I'm Tony Curry. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. It's one of our longest running shows, you know, Dr. Rab. You get the longest running show here on Tony Curry Radio. Congratulations to you.
I mean, I'm honored. I mean,
you're like, yeah, I know. It's been a real long time.
No, it feels like yesterday. I played some golf this weekend, and I wish I was, you know, as long off the tee. Yes. As I am with this show running. There's other jokes that could be made about things like that, but we try to keep it a family show.
There is no doubt. So what did Papa Rab do on Father's Day? Are you one of those fathers that wants to spend the day with your kids, or do you want to just get away from your kids?
Man, I like growing up, it's really interesting, I guess, like the difference between, I think, some people's, you know, perception of holidays and stuff. Yeah. But it's like we never, like in my house, we never made anything that big of a deal. Like Christmas we did, you know, because of what it means, and Easter and stuff. But like Mother's Day and Father's Day and even our birthdays, it was just kind of like, it's just, you know, I mean, it's not just another day, but we didn't, you know, it wasn't like some, you know, it's whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. And it's, you know, a free for all.
You know what? Now that you mention it, I don't remember any of my birthdays. I remember my birthdays when I moved down here, because I was on the radio and I made a huge deal out of birthdays, because we all have them, and it pisses me off when people have birthdays and they don't tell me, because they'll always tell me 2 days later. I'll go, so what'd you do this weekend? Well, I celebrated my birthday on Saturday. I'm like, well, why you tell me about it now? It's Monday. If you're going to tell me about it after it happens, then you better tell me before it happens, so at least I can pat you on the back. But come to think of it, I don't ever remember my mom and dad. I don't remember birthday cakes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of the same way. I mean, I know when I was younger, we had birthday parties, you know, like, you know, you'd have some friends over, you go to the neighborhood pool, depending on when your birthday was or whatever. But yeah. I mean, I played nine holes of golf on Saturday, and then we hung out. A friend was nice enough to invite me somewhere. And so then we hung out by the pool that was there. And then Sunday we just hung out. We went to church and we came home and we stayed at the house all day.
Yeah, that's kind of what we did too. We did some church on Sunday morning, and then we went and looked at car washes. We drove around town looking for car. Yeah, my son's in the car washes, so we went to 27 different car washes yesterday. Yeah, it was fun. Well, I'm glad you had a nice Father's Day. Anything interesting happening there at Rossburg Animal Hospital? 208-0301. Anything happening there?
Man, we're just trying to keep up with everybody. You know, I mean, it's busy. All so right. We're just we're taking care of everybody.
All right. We've got the show on 5 days a week here on TKR. And, of course, wherever you get your podcast, Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network. It is available on every major podcast industry out there. And, of course, it's always brought to you by Ed's Pet World, 50 years in the business. They're coming up on their 50th anniversary down there in beautiful Homewood. They've redone the streets. It's beautiful. Plenty of parking down there. Check out Ed's Pet World for all your exotic pet needs. I've gotten gerbils. I've gotten guinea pigs. My daughter tried to get me to buy a tarantula the last time we were down there. They had like 14 different tarantulas down there. It's crazy. They got turtles, caiman, alligators, the whole nine yards. And of course, Seth also has a great toy store. His toy closet, man, is full. All kinds of unboxed collectibles, watches, Legos, you name it. Check out the toy closet there with Seth. And of course, Ed's Pet World. They do fantastic work. 879-1331. Go down and see Angie and tell her that Tony Curry sent you. All right. I've got several stories to get into. We got some emails as well. info@tonycurryradio.net. The pet sitting platform called Trusted House Sitter. Ever heard it?
No.
Okay, well, you have now. Evidently, they're considered trusted. And they have now come out with the 2023 most popular pet names. We do this every year. And pretty much, they don't change a whole lot. Lucy's always big. Bella's always big. Luna's always big. Daisy's always big. And then, of course, for cats, you also have Lunas and Bellas, you have Callies, you have Lacey's, you have Pipers, things like that. But I wanted to ask you specifically, since we're in the state of Alabama, can you name me the most popular dog name in Alabama and the most popular cat name in Alabama?
The dog is Bear.
No, it is Max. It's another popular dog name. I know it's not.
I underestimated the Bama fans.
Now, the cat name is unlike any cat name I've ever heard of, and the fact that it's the most common cat name is a real head scratcher for me, and I'm going to be amazed if you can tell me what it is.
Sergeant.
That's Sergeant. Close. Blue.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of a cat named Blue?
Man, I bet we have a Blue in our database.
Really?
I bet we have at least one. Yeah, probably so.
Well, you should. It's the most popular name in the state of Alabama.
Surely I have one.
I've never heard of a cat named Blue. I've heard of Leons. I've heard of Leos. I've heard of all kinds of different Simbas. I've heard all those things, but I've never heard of a Blue when it comes to cats.
We've got a client. Then he's British, and he's got three cats, and they all have really awesome names. One of them is Captain Nemo.
Oh, nice.
And then he's got like Sir Quantenberry or something like that. It's like, I don't know where he gets it. I don't know. It must be a British thing.
That is a beautiful thing. This is Dark Side of the Pooch with Dr. Rab Stewart. He's the man. He is the owner and the veterinarian there at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, Instagram, of course, wherever you get your social media, and of course on their website as well. I went down to the Shelby County Humane Society last week. I had a friend of mine who needed to surrender a dog. His name was, what was his name? Rooster. Rooster the dog. And because he didn't live in Shelby County, he needed to have me take the dog down there to surrender it. And I was more than happy to do it. And when I was down there, somebody was bringing in a dog to surrender it. And she had 9 pups. And her name, the dog's name, was Pizza. And each one of the pups was a pizza topping. So you had onions, green peppers, extra cheese, extra sauce. There was a pineapple. There was a mushroom. So I was like, what?
So that's pretty unique. That's good. That's creative.
Kind of a unique way to go. All right. Also this week, and I'm sure you are aware of this, but coming up here, I think it's on Wednesday, it's National Pet Choking Awareness Day here in the United States of America. Did you realize there was a national day for pet choking?
I didn't realize that, I'm happy that we can educate people on pet choking.
So I was going to read the article on it, but I was like, why am I doing that? Because I got the best veterinarian in the world joining us on the show on the Dark Side of the Pooch. It said, according to this article, that over 200,000 pets a year choke on something. Does that sound like a right number? And what are they usually choking on, and how can we help them?
I think in almost 15 years of practice, I have never had an animal choking on anything.
Really?
Yeah. So oh, wow. 200,000 a year.
Wow.
200,000 a year. Maybe that's accurate. I don't know. We have a lot of people who think that their dogs are choking on things, but they're not. They just have an upper respiratory virus or bacteria, so they're doing a lot of coughing. Every time someone says, I think my dog has something stuck in his throat, it doesn't. It's just sick and it has a cold. The other thing is, a lot of times we saw this just maybe a week or so ago. A dog got a stick caught between his teeth.
Yes.
So it, like, if you think about like his, like the upper jaw, a stick will kind of bridge the gap between the one side of the teeth to the other, mm-hmm. and it gets stuck in there, and you got to sedate them and get in there and pop it out. But as far as, you know, something actually choking on anything, I've never once seen a case of it.
That's pretty amazing. I was at a gas station down in the streets of Lakeview. This is about 20 years ago, and a girl was frantic. She had her dog in the front seat of the car, and it was choking on something, and it had a chicken bone. Like you said, it was stuck in between the sides of the mouth, and it could breathe. I mean, when I think of choking, I think of something that can't breathe. Most animals can still breathe. They just have some obstruction in their throat. So you're saying, and obviously you don't want to stick your finger down there, even if you're the owner, because they'll probably bite you. You usually have to sedate that animal.
Yeah. To get something out of the, unless it's just in there really, loosely, like very loosely, because those things get wedged in there pretty tight, and they're not just going to leave their mouth open and let you work at it until you get it out.
Yeah.
They're just not going to do that. So you have to give them some level of sedation or sometimes even general anesthesia to get stuff out like that. Now, I've had dogs swallow fish hooks before, but that's in the esophagus. That's not in the trachea. I've had stuff like that happen.
And that's pretty amazing, though, that, I found this article and I was like, wow, I didn't realize there was actually a national day for this. National Pet Choking Prevention Day, June 22nd, spreading awareness and education about preventable things that go down. It says, tragically, there are over 200,000 pet choking incidents in the United States every year.
Wow. Yeah, I mean,
but none of them at the Rosbridge Animal Hospital. You're beyond that, aren't you?
So, you know, like math is not my strong suit, but so if you have 50 states, so what, that's like
40,000
like 10
states.
It's 10. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, how many counties do we have? I don't know.
I'm evidently it's a big enough problem. We have a national pet day for it. I mean, it must be a pretty big thing.
I can think of way more important days, but whatever. No one consulted me on this calendar.
All right, so I'm going to put you on the spot. If you could create, Dr. Rabb at the Rossburg Animal Hospital could create a special tragic prevention day for dogs or cats, what would that day be? What? In other words, what's the most common thing you have coming through your store that you have issues with that you need to bring awareness to?
It would not be something tragic. It would be like, canine and feline ear infection, like awareness day.
I'm sure they have that too.
They need to, because like, you know, that's something that you see, like, I mean, we see 5 or 6 of those a day. Yeah. Whereas like, I've never seen one choking dog or cat.
All right. So let's go off a tangent here since you're bringing that up, because my dog the other day was making this weird groaning noise and I looked over and he had his foot about up to the third knuckle in his ear. He's scratching his ear. And I was like, oh no, because the first thing I thought was he's got an ear infection and he keeps his ears up. He doesn't have one of those floppy ears. And then you could talk about that a little bit more as far as infections getting in ears. But I took a tissue and I wiped the inside of his ear and it came out clean. So I figured he was good. And I figured it just probably felt good. Like we stick a Q-tip in our ear, it probably feels pretty good for a dog to stick his foot in the side of his head. What causes ear infections? What kind of dogs get in ear infections? And how can you tell if your dog has an ear infection?
Any dog and cat can get an ear infection. And if it's something that becomes a chronic problem, then it's either a conformational issue with the ear canal, or it's a allergy. Dogs that have allergies are prone to ear infections. But if it's a one-off and it doesn't happen often, you know, maybe they just got some water down in their ear and that, you know, heat and moisture lead to infection. The symptoms are shaking their head a lot, scratching at their ears, having redness around the start of the ear canal. But yeah, I mean, it's any dog or cat can get them, and they're, you know, for the ones that are chronic, it's really frustrating. And if they have chronic ear infections, they can change the shape and the kind of the thickness of the canal, which can lead to even more infections. So, you know, that's why I say that should have a day, because it happens a ton. So if there's not an ear infection awareness month or whatever, the calendar people need to get on it.
Can dogs be deaf?
Yeah, for sure.
Have you had one? And how do you know?
So I once had a coworker. And I may have told the story before, I can't remember. But I once had a coworker whose husband thought that we had the most ridiculous job in the world because of the way that we tell if a pet is deaf or not.
Mm-hmm.
So he would always laugh at us, because to try to figure out if a pet is deaf, all you do is you walk outside the room and you make a super loud noise and you see if they look at the door. Yeah. I mean, and like, you know, you like take a metal bowl and you just drop it from 5 feet and it makes this, you know, super loud, terrible noise.
Yeah.
And so if the pet looks over there, then they can hear. But if they don't look over there, it doesn't mean that they can't hear. It just means that they didn't look at you. So that test is really good to tell if they can hear, but it's a really crappy test to do if they, you know, if they can't hear, because they still may not look at you. So it's one of those tests that has limitations, and trying to figure out if a dog or cat is deaf has its limitations, because you have to be able to, you know, communicate in some way to let people know if you are deaf or not. And dogs and cats can't do that.
Now, and like humans, unless, of course, we're born that way, it's usually something that we either damage our ears or we're not taking care of our ears, and we eventually go deaf. And I know certainly with old age that comes with the plan too. But for dogs, what could cause a dog to be deaf? Can they be born that way? How's that work?
Well, it's usually chronic infections and the eardrum ruptures, and then their internal ear gets damaged and they lose their hearing. So that's the main way. And I think that it would be really, really difficult to determine if a pet was deaf since birth. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but I think it would be kind of difficult to tell. I think you could eventually figure it out.
All right.
But I think it'd be hard.
You're listening to Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 208-0301. I'm Tony Curry. And of course, you can find the show at least 5 days a week on the TKR app and wherever you get your favorite podcast. We're available on every one of them. It's Tony Curry Radio Podcast. Check out Dark Side of the Pooch. I can promise you we have the only show called Dark Side of the Pooch, so you will find us. You want to do some emails?
Yeah, man.
Mutt mails. Ingrid in Childersburg, and this just came in this morning. I don't know. Did you hear the storms last night? It was crazy, man. It thundered and lightened all night long. I was at the James Taylor concert, and he actually cut the show just a couple songs short so we could get out. And I was like, I don't even see it raining. And it stormed all night long. Of course, I had the same issue. My Havanese, you want to talk about dropping a bowl. He drops a bowl. That dog will shake for 3 hours. And so much so that he's medicated. You've helped me out with medication for Frisco dog. She's got a dog, same thing. Whenever there's a thunderstorm, the dog is underneath her feet. She can't even get away from the animal. It wants to be everywhere with her. And obviously she doesn't want it to sleep in her bed. And I'm paraphrasing here, but she wants it to sleep in its kennel. So she puts it in the kennel, and she said she can actually hear the kennel shaking because her dog's shaking so much. She said, is it okay to leave your pet alone when it's scared of a storm like that for a long period of time?
It's okay. I mean, it's not ideal. But then again, you know, having a pet that's afraid of storms isn't ideal. So, but sometimes things like that can just get worse and worse if you don't, you know, maybe try something to help them not be so anxious. But it's going to have to be a medication. And you don't want to use a medication that just, you know, masks the symptoms. You want to try to use something that really does help them relax and not be so afraid. But I mean, is it the worst thing in the world just to let them ride it out? No, but it might get worse, you know, as the years go on.
But if you allow them to perhaps go into a part of the house where they're normally not allowed, like your bed or maybe into your bedroom or something like that, then aren't you kind of teaching them that it's okay? I mean, you're saying every time it's storms,
yeah, sure,
you're welcome to come with me. So, but if you leave them in the kennel and here's the problem with dogs, and it's almost a phobia kind of thing, because, you know, once we face our fears, it seems like we get beyond that. Right. But for dogs, they don't, do they? I mean, my dog has been through 1,000 thunderstorms and every time he comes out fine, but yet when it thunders, he's going to freak out again. Why is that?
Cause you can't reason with them and you can't explain to them what it is. Like you can with a person. You know, storms scare kids when they're young, and then they learn that they're nothing to be afraid of. You know, I mean, you know, routine thunderstorms, nothing to be afraid of. But, yeah, you know, if there's a tornado coming, that's different. But, you know, you can't relay that to a dog or a cat. There's no way for them to ever understand that, you know, what they're hearing is okay, and it's not going to hurt them. Because we know what causes thunder. And so that helps us understand that as long as we're indoors, even if a thunderstorm's really close, you know, unless there's some freak occurrence, we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
They never know that. So there's no way to get over that fear. They're never going to get over it.
Yeah. That makes sense. He's Dr. Rab Stewart. That's why he's the man. Rossbridge Animal Hospital, Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, and Rossbridge Vet, of course, on their website as well. Steve in Garden City read an article in the Guardian magazine. They got interesting articles in that magazine about a woman who had pet bats. And they were really small bats. I'm not sure what kind of bats they were, but they actually fit like in the palm of her hand. They were about the size of a golf ball, and she had about 30 or 40 of them. He wants to know, what's Dr. Rab's weirdest pet he's ever had, and what's the weirdest pet he's ever heard of someone having?
I've had zero weird pets.
Really?
I guess, well, let me take it back. So right now, I probably have the weirdest pets I've ever owned, and it's crawfish. That my son has 3 crawfish. We talked about a few weeks ago, I think. Yeah. He has 3 crawfish
still alive
in his room. Oh, man, they're still alive. And he went off to camp, and he went to camp for a couple weeks, and before he left, we had a really serious conversation about how daddy is a veterinarian and it's daddy's job to be sure that the crawfish habitat gets cleaned out once a week and they get fed once a week.
Yes.
And I mean, I don't feel, I felt more pressure over these crawfish than I do a lot of days at work. I was like, what if one of these things dies while he's gone? So the crawfish, probably the strangest pet that I've ever owned. But I don't know, to some people, I mean, I grew up with horses. We lived on a horse farm. And so to some people, that's really strange. I mean, it's just, you know, owning horses is not something that they would ever want to do or whatever. So for some people, that would be really strange. But it was pretty much just normal dogs and cats for me. But there were, you know, across the street from where I live, where I grew up, there was a guy that had an enclosure and he had white-tailed deer in there and those were his pets.
Really?
And you know, yeah, yeah. And I mean the fence, oh man, I don't remember how high that fence was, but it had, the fence had to be, I think 12 feet tall,
yeah,
maybe even taller, to keep them in there. Yeah, I mean, where I grew up in, Northwest Alabama, you know, pretty much anything goes. So I'm sure there were some pretty crazy pets there that I had no clue were pets or even could be pets. But probably the white-tailed deer across the street, probably the most interesting pets I've ever known someone,
you know,
to have.
My radio partner, Dr. Josh Klapo, has got about 20 or 30 deer that come into his yard every night at dusk. And he's got his own Instagram thing called Josh's Deer Chronicles, where he's got about 5,000 people following. It's the most amazing thing that so many people are following this Deer Chronicles, but he's got them eating out of his hand. And he thinks it's great. The unfortunate thing, and his wife is just a stellar woman. She's wonderful, but she's not real happy because he's actually getting fleas in the house from these deer. Evidently,
Do
deer get a lot of fleas, I guess? Fleas get on
them. Yeah, I mean, if you're an animal that lives outside, I mean, fleas and ticks too, they're gonna be all over them.
Yeah, she's not real crazy about the Deer Chronicles and bringing fleas into the Klapo household. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net, brought to you by It's Pet World. They do fantastic work. They've been down there for 50 years. Exotic pets, chinchillas and tarantulas and birds and all kinds of great stuff they got down there. It's just fun. Go down to Ed's Pet World. If you've never been, where you been, get out there and check out Ed's Pet World, of course, when it comes to toys. Seth buys, sells, and trades. If you've got some stuff up in the attic that's still in the box and you want to check it out, he's got all kinds of collectibles. He travels around the United States of America trying to find the best toys, and he actually will take requests. If you're looking for a particular toy, he will find it for you. Diane in Tupelo wants to know, she's heard something about veterinarians who do home pet euthanasia situations. She wants to know if that's something that you've ever done. Have you ever heard of that? She said it sounds very hospitable for the pet, so you don't have to pick it up, put it in the car, the whole nine yards. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, we do it.
Do you?
If you're in with certain, yeah, yeah. If you're within a certain, you know, radius, in our neighborhood where we are, there's a lot of houses that are in close proximity. So we've been in the neighborhood and then we've gone down the street to Deer Valley. We've gone up, you know, where I live in Bluff Park, because it's kind of on my way home, you know, and most people kind of want to do that at either, you know, usually the end of the day kind of thing. And so if they're kind of close to where I live, I'll go up there and take care of it, you know, on my way to the house. And farthest I've ever gone was out by where your old place was. There was a client out there that I had taken care of for a long time. And so I went to take care of one of her pets. So it's something that we do now. You know, you've got to be within about a 4 or 5 mile radius from us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the farther out you are, I mean, it does get a little more expensive because it's just our time. And that, you know, that's probably the most expensive thing that, you know, we do is our time. So, and I think that most veterinarians will do it. You know, where I used to work, we did it and it was the same kind of thing. If you were within a certain radius, we would come out and we would help do it for you. And you know, it's, I think people do get, some comfort from it, you know, they don't have to bring their pet in, to the office. But it does carry some limitations. It doesn't happen often, but sometimes the dog or cat just doesn't you know, the medication is not working on it as well as it should. So they have to be redosed. You know, we like to put IVs in so the medication can go exactly where it needs to be intravenously. So, you know, we carry a lot, we bring some equipment with us. Sometimes the pet is really, really sick. It's been sick for a long time. And so its blood pressure is really low. It can be hard to get an IV in these really, really sick patients. And so if you're not in the office, you're limited, and you can't do other means of euthanasia. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, it's good, you know, from a, I think from a pet comfort standpoint, but it does have limitations.
So what happens then? Do you take the pet? Do they keep the pet? What happens then?
Sorry, Tony, somebody from work was hitting the door. Repeat that question.
No problem. What happens to the pet then? I mean, I'm assuming most of the times they keep the pet there at the house, or do you offer to take that pet with you, or how does that work?
Well, we take them back if they need us to, like if they don't have a place that they want to bury them, and there's some parts of town that you can't, you know, you're not allowed to bury them.
Yeah.
But there's some that, you know, we'll take them, like if they have a place they want to bury them. But then other times we just bring them back to the house, and bring them by to the office. And then we have a service that comes, picks them up and cremates them.
All right. info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Final email question here on Dark Side of the Pooch here 5 days a week here in the TKR app. Toby in Birmingham. I feel this guy big time. He said his dogs, every time he leaves, his dogs chew up his shoes. I had the same issue here. He said, so he went out and bought 3 pairs of shoes that were his size. He wore them for a week and then put him by the front door just so his dog could have some shoes to chew on. And he still chews the shoes that he's not supposed to chew. He said, what's up with my dog? How does he know which shoes not to chew on, and why does he chew on them?
If I can answer that question.
It's a smart dog.
If I can answer that question, man, I don't know that I'd still be practicing. Yeah. I'd be on a boat somewhere.
That's pretty amazing. Anything interesting happening there at Ross Bridge Animal Hospital?
Oh, no, man, we're day to day, you know, just plugging away. Yeah, everything's great though.
All right, cool. Tell people how they can find you and all the wonderful work you do.
All right, you can find us online, rossbridgevet.com. Find us on Facebook, Ross Bridge Animal Hospital. And you can call us at 208-0301.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.